Amen. That is, man, that's good stuff. Well, good morning. Hey, my name is Wes Arum. I'm the pastor here of College Age Young Adults here at the chapel. Man, love it. Such a privilege to be a part of what God is doing in this generation. I told the first service this because it's just really true that most churches don't have this position. Under God's direction, there's pretty much one reason why this church has this, because they believe in college students and young adults because of our pastor. That's why we have this kind of a thing that is going to reach out and impact thousands of students, man. And it's true. So it's cool. So thanks, man. Awesome. Hey, you know what? I want to ask you to do something that I ask the college kids every week when we meet and, to do. Because here's the truth. You need to hear from God. Boy, you don't need to hear from me. I'll waste your time. I mean, I'm an enormous waste of time from God. I do it really good. You know, you need to hear from God, not from me. And so I'm going to ask you to do something, because here's the truth. You know, out of the limitless possibilities that God had at his fingertips when he created everything, he chose to create you. I mean, let that settle on you just for a moment. He could have chose to create somebody else in your spot, but he didn't. He said, I want you here on this planet. I want you to know me. I have a plan for your life of significance. And he has arranged the details of our lives to be here together because he has something very special, very specific that he wants to communicate to you. And man, I don't want you to miss it. So I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes if you would. Ask you to pray this prayer. Not out loud in your heart. You may have never done anything like this, but I'm going to ask you, beg you if I could, to pray this prayer silently. Just something like this. Say, God, you got my attention. Speak to me. I will respond. And then if you could ask God to help me to accurately communicate his truth in his heart. Thank you. God, it is again a privilege to be in this place and to be with you. Come before you. It's unbelievable, God. So I thank you. I thank you for what you have in mind, and I ask that you would complete it. Holy Spirit, I thank you for the help that you will give me to communicate your heart and the truth today. Lord, may we be different when we walk out of here because we've encountered you. That's what we need, Lord. We need you. So we say thank you. We give you all the praise for all the good stuff because we know you alone are worthy. We pray this in your name, Christ. Amen. If you have your Bibles, please open to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. If you don't have a Bible, there's one in front of you in the pew holder. You can get it in the beginning of it. First couple of pages, there's an index. And you trail down, find the book of Hebrews and look it up. I want to talk to you about, we're going to go with three passages today that we're going to look at. And while you look that up, I got a question for you. Have you ever been involved in a situation where someone else is into something and it's going great for them, and then you try it? And it's horrible for you. I mean, it just does not work out well at all. Have you ever been there? I mean, we don't really have to look any farther than our TV sets, right? Maybe you've tried some of that stuff that's on TV. Like, see this this diet ad. This amazing diet ad. Hey, look at this. You know, I lost 400 pounds on a Krispy Kreme donut diet. You know, that's amazing, right? You're like, hey, I'll try that, you know. And what works out? It's like, yeah. It's how'd you do? Well, I gained 50 pounds. Thanks. That was great. You know, or maybe, you know, those cooking shows, you know, those amazing cooking shows with guys doing all this stuff, you know, right? And that looked pretty good, didn't it? You know, he's doing all that stuff. And then you're like, oh, this is a surefire. Is this my mic? Is this me? I shaved today. It's my stubble or what? Am I doing something wrong? Do you want me to just get a handheld? Is that good? We'll do that. It's a commercial break, folks. Talk amongst yourself about the cooking shows. Awesome. There we go. It's cool. We had a problem with first service with my mic, too. I'm like, I don't know what the deal is. Any problem comes right here. Tuesday nights when I with the college kids, five Tuesdays in a row, we've had a storm every Tuesday night. Awesome. Praise God. Okay, here we go. So, I mean, have you ever tried that? You're into something, it just doesn't work out for you. You know, the cookie show, hey, I'll try that recipe. And like, hey, how was that? Oh, yeah, my dog enjoyed it. That was about it because it didn't work out well for me. Or you see these guys, these workout guys, right? These guys, look at this, an amazing stretching rubber band, the rubber band of miracles. The guy's just jacked. He's like, you can look like this too, you know. Hey, how'd that work out? Yeah, I ordered it, tried it, threw my back out. It was great, thanks. Now that works out. Or maybe, do you have this friend? You have a friend like this where they can wear something, I mean anything, and make it look good. And then you try it on, and it's look, like you got dressed in the dark or something. It just does not work out for you. And your friends are going, dude, you not have a mirror? I mean, in your house? I mean, you look bad. What are you doing? All right, it's horrible. Well, let me ask you something. Does that ever apply to your Christian experience? I mean, have you ever felt like, you know, I mean, you're a Christian. You've invited Christ in. You've made that decision to invite Christ in your life. You've turned your life over to him. You've turned from your sin. You realize Christ died on the cross for you, and you invited him in. And boy, and it was great. Out of the box, it was awesome. The freedom is incredible. But now as time has passed, man, it's like a struggle. I mean, maybe you're here and that describes you. You've had a rough week. This is a tough week for you. You tried to live for God, and boy, you just didn't go well. You made some decisions. You're like, what was I thinking? You're like, okay, I just want to get to prayer, to church. That'll be great, you know? And then, of course, you forget to set your clocks back, you know? And you're like, oh, I thought I had all this time. No, I don't have time. You rush around, you know, your hair's not done. And you can look around and see who I'm talking about. You know, your hair's not done, you know, and you didn't get enough food, and you hit your elbow on the way out the door, you know? And like, oh, man, that's right. So you're like, okay, I'll get to church. And then you get stuck behind some guy who's driving 15 miles an hour because he's never driven in snow in Buffalo before, you know, and you're trying to get over that and the bitterness there. And you just get it, you're finally in here, and you finally just, and you're in the seat right now, and you're like, I'm spent, you know? You're like, oh, it's to be here. And they mean well, you know, but during the meet and greet time, you get some overzealous brother, you know, it's like, man, it's great to see you. God bless you, brother. Boy, isn't it an amazing day? Isn't it incredible? It's glorious. Heaven's declared the glory of God. Isn't that great? And you're like, amen. Yeah, thank you. Hope you get hit by a bus later today. You know? I mean, yeah. Can I just tell you, if that's you, I get you. I get you, man. Because there's been times in my life, well, there's one special there we're talking about today. This has been an on, again, off again challenge struggle, honestly, in my life. You know, I became a Christian at a young age, and prayer. You know, you read the Bible. You don't have to go very far in the Bible. You realize prayer is pretty important, you know, right? 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray continually. You know, Ephesians 6:18, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all requests. In other words, pray about everything all the time. Prayer is a big deal. I'm like, man. And, you know, sometimes in my life, my prayer life was great. But more often than not, man, it was a struggle. And I'm like, all right. How do I get this thing back on track? So then I'd read biographies of great men of prayer, you know, like George Mueller, you know, or Hudson Taylor, and I'm reading these things, and like so inspiring. But on the other hand, it's like, man, it's depressing, you know, because I'm reading this going, man, these guys praying down miracles from heaven, and I can't even pray myself a decent parking spot at the mall, for crying out loud. You know, ever been in that nightmare? That's great, isn't it? Hey, drop somebody off. Hey, I'll see you in about, you know, 5 minutes. You know, 5 hours later, you're still driving around. And you start bargaining with God. Oh, God, as you parted the sea for Moses, part the cars for me, you know. And you see a spot open, right? And you're like, oh, there's a heavenly light on it. You know, oh, you can get around there, and just, you know, a car pulls right into it, you know. It's got a bumper sticker. Honk if you love Jesus, you know. Like, okay. Where's a bus when you need it? So, and it's like, wow, you know. But then it gets really serious, because for me, all of a sudden, Satan, man, he's just talking in my ear, and I started to buy into some of his lies. It's like, Wes, why do you pray anyway? Dude, God is going to do what he wants. He certainly doesn't need advice from you. You know, you can't even handle your own life. You know, and really, has God really answered any of your prayers lately? Seriously, really? I don't think so. He's not really interested in what you have to say, so quit being a hypocrite. Quit being phony. Forget the guilt and just, you know, don't pray. Well, about 2.5 years ago, I said, you know, enough's enough. And so I went to the Bible and said, God, I really want to find out what you have to say. I know that's genius, isn't it? Ooh, fine, go to the Bible. Yeah, good plan, Wes. And I'm like, God, I really want to know, man. I'm tired of this. And so I went to this Bible. In the back of this Bible, there's a concordance which lists just about every verse in the Bible that mentions prayer, praying, prayed, pray. And I'm like, all right, God, here we go. So I got a notebook. And every day, that was my quiet time. I started working my way down to verses. Every day, I had one verse. I'd read it. I'd write on it. I'm like, God, what do you want? What are you saying to me? Holy Spirit, open my eyes. What are you revealing to me about prayer? I want to get this. And I'd restudy the passages. That journey took me about a year and a half, 2 years. And I stand here today telling you, I don't know everything about prayer. But I've learned some things based on God's truth that have revolutionized my life when it comes to this area of prayer. And here's my hope and my prayer and my goal for you today is when you walk out these doors at the end of our time, is that you will walk out with a new, fresh desire to pray and to spend time with your Heavenly Father. We're going to let four truths take us there, all right? Truth number one, here it is.
Prayer is only as strong as its object. Prayer is only as strong as its object. Billions of people today around the world will pray. Doesn't necessarily mean anything, okay? You can pray to anything. You can pray to the sun, to the stars, to people. You can even go home, pray to your toaster for crying out loud. You can set it up there on the counter. Oh, shiny box of wonders and miracles. I pray that you give me fortune and fame and good health. Amen. You know what you're going to get? Toast. That's all it can deliver. That's all you're going to get because that's all it can deliver. Because prayer is only as strong as its object. And you know what? It's nothing new to do that. It's been going on for thousands of years. In fact, in Bible times, God got a hold of Isaiah, one of his prophets. He said, Isaiah, I see what my people are doing. Call them out on it. And so in Isaiah chapter 46, verse 6 says this, some pour out gold from their bags and weigh out silver on the scales. They hire a goldsmith to make it into a god and they bow down and worship it. They lift it to their shoulders and carry it. They set it up in its place and there it stands. From that spot, it cannot move. Though one cries out to it, it does not answer. It cannot save him from his troubles. It looked good. Gold and silver, meticulously framed and created and crafted. Wow. Do you know what? Doesn't mean anything. Why? Because prayer is only as strong as its object. But when you pray to the God of the universe, King of Kings, God of this Bible, it's a whole different story. Hebrews chapter 4. I love this passage. It's an encouraging passage. It's always been encouraging to me. Verse 14 says this, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. I've always loved those verses because it's like, wow, Jesus really gets me. He understands what I've gone through because he's been there. He can help me. He can encourage me. He invites me to come to him. Wow. And that's true. But there's one word in those verses that I just blew by every single time until recently. It's in verse 16. It's the word throne. Throne. And it can make all the difference in your prayers. Because if you want to know what's behind that, if you want a glimpse of what we're talking about when it says throne, let me read it for you. Here in the book of Revelation, chapter 4, verse 1, says this, after I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven, and the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this. At once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian. A rainbow resembling an emerald encircled the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings, and peals of thunder. Before the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. Also before the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. In the center, around the throne, were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third had a face like a man. The fourth was like a flying eagle. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under his wings. Day and night, they never stopped saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. When you, as a believer, bow your head to pray, that is where you go. You go to this throne that is massive, blinding in majesty, blazing with glory, with the King of the universe seated on it. Angelic beings that would blow us away if we just got a glimpse of them are flying around declaring, holy, holy, holy. That is the throne that you and I as believers come to. When we pray, this place, this throne. Satan doesn't want you to know that. He doesn't want you to think about that. He wants you to think about your circumstances. He wants you to look at your situations and how overwhelming they are and how powerless you are and how, man, there's no way these things are going to come together. It's impossible. That situation, it'll never change. He wants you to look at that. That's why God says, I want you to look here. Colossians 3, set your minds on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. The writer of Hebrews chapter 12, fix your eyes on Christ, this throne. Why? Because when you see this throne, this massive, powerful, amazing throne, all of a sudden the stuff we bring to God, we start to see it for what it is. Nothing is too hard for him who sits on the throne. Nothing is too difficult. No situation is beyond his reach. Why? Because he's the king of the universe seated on the throne. And when you pray, and when I pray, that is where we go. God said so. Now Satan will want you to think, hey, God is sovereign. He's all powerful. He's in control. He's going to do whatever he wants. Your prayers don't matter. You know what the truth is? It's only because he is sovereign and is all powerful and is in control that my prayers make a difference at all. Because he's a king. And when I go to him, stuff happens. Because he's on the throne. Which brings us to our second truth. Our second truth is this. God has linked his actions with our prayers. Hang left, if you will, and go to Matthew chapter 7. It's the first book in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 7. You know, you can't go very far when you do a study on prayer without realizing something truly amazing. God answers prayer. I mean, he really does. You read it time and time again, you'll see people prayed, God answered. People cried out, he delivered. They begged God to get involved. He got involved. And the mystery that is his sovereignty, God chooses to link his actions with our prayers. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will show you and answer you and show you great and mighty things you don't know. Call unto me, I will answer you. I'm going to show you stuff. You want to see great and mighty things? You got to call to me. James 4:2, you don't have because you don't ask. You know what that means? There are certain things that God's not going to give us unless we ask him. Matthew 7. Take a look. You got it right here. Matthew 7. Jesus talking about prayer. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. See, one of the lies I believe to the enemy is that God doesn't answer prayer. Not really. And you know what? It's not true. God in his sovereign mystery has chosen to link his actions with our prayers. He says so. You know why? Because we're in a relationship with God. When you become a Christian, you have a relationship with the living God, your heavenly Father. And he has given us the gift of prayer to link our lives with his, to link his actions and his purposes with our lives, and to allow us to enter into a conscious presence, an experience with the living God, our heavenly Father. Every single day. Because he loves us. Because he loves us. Take a look at verse 9. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? Don't you hate that when that happens? You're sitting across the dinner table. Hey, Dad, can I have a fish stick? Oh, no, have a snake. Anybody ever have that happen? Of course not. And that's the point, right? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? God says, I'm going to link my actions with your prayers, and I want to give you good things if you'll ask me. Now, that's where we get in a little bit of trouble, right? Because good, we define that differently than God often, right? Two reasons for that. One, we don't always know what the good thing is. We think we know, but we don't always know. My son Dylan, he's 7, but when he was younger than 1, I don't even remember what I was doing. I was cutting something up on a counter, but I had a knife. It was shiny, and all of a sudden he looks up, he sees it, he wants it, points at it. He wants the knife. Well, guess what? He's not getting it. He can cry all he wants. He can whine, he can do a little tantrum, he can get all his little toddler buddies together and ask me, it doesn't matter. He's not getting it. Why? Because I love him. Because I love him. Because I know more than he does. And by the way, this is a little newsflash for all of us. Part of the being God is he knows more than you. He's smarter than you. He knows more. He knows better. He knows better. And I'm not going to give my son, Dylan, because I know that that which he thinks will bring joy and delight to his life will only bring heartache and pain and destruction. I know that. And so he's not getting it because I love him. See, if I didn't care about him, I'd go, hey, Dylan, here you go, have a knife. And oh, wait, hey, just a second, look at it. I got another drawer here. Look at that. Oh, a bunch more shiny knives. And hey, look over here. I have a bunch of butcher knives. Help yourself. And oh, hey, over in this drawer, I got a bunch of swords. And hey, I got under here, I got a knife that goes really, really fast. Here, it's called a chainsaw. Have fun. Here you go. No, I'm not doing that. Why? Because I love him. I love him. Second reason we have problems with knowing what to ask for and thinking something is good is because we have a limited perspective. See, imagine I had a huge picture right here, huge canvas, big picture that you painted. And you bring me out, close my eyes, bring me right up to the canvas, and it's okay, Wes, you can open your eyes, but only look through this. What do you see? And I'm like, wow, it's cool, some good color, but man, I don't understand why you did this and that. I don't get that. And boy, I do that differently. I don't get that. And you say, okay, Wes, open your eyes back up. And all of a sudden, oh, now I see. I get it now. That's amazing. But right in here, I didn't get it. But now back, oh, okay, I get it. I see that. You know what? That's us and God. God is painting this amazing story, this amazing picture, amazing canvas. But right now, this is all we see. And God says, you got to trust me because one day you'll get it. One day you'll see it. Right now, that's all you see. Sometimes you think something is good and it's not because I got the whole picture. And this picture that I'm painting is according to my will. And God's will is an expression of his heart, his person, which is good and right and just and loving. He wants to give good things to us. So how do we get in on that? That's a third truth. Hang it right in your Bible. Go to 1 John chapter 5. I want to show you something so amazing. 1 John chapter 5. Here's the truth. We can pray God's will by praying God's word. I learned this years ago, and through my study on prayer, this kind of just reaffirmed to me. I'm like, man, I got to get in on this because this is good stuff. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. Check this out. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. God says, you ask anything according to my will, and I am going to be actively involved in answering that request. Why? Because God's will is what he wants for us. He wants this in our lives because he knows how good and right it is. He wants it in our lives, right? And so he wants us to come after him for it, to pray according to his will, to ask according to his will, because he wants this in our lives. If I had my son Dylan here, I said, Dylan, I got this thing for you, man. I know it's going to be a blessing. It's going to be awesome in your life. It's going to be so great. I want to give it to you. And he goes, okay, Dad, can I have it? And I go, nope. Ha ha. Psych. No. Of course not. I'm going to, here you go. Man, because I want you to ask me for it. I want you to have it. Now, that's providing he asks with the right heart. So if he's flippant or casual about it, I'm not going to give it to him. Why? Because he doesn't value it. It's not going to be important or a priority for him. But if he asks me with the right heart, man, I want this in his life. Let me show you how this works. Start square one. First and greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That is what God wants for you. When God is telling you something, he's expressing his will in his word. That's where we find it. Pastor Jerry talked about that a couple weeks ago. We find it here. And so you take God's word and allow it to frame your prayers. So when you come to God and say, God, I want to love you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, he's going to be okay here. He's going to be active in answering that. Why? Because it's his will. And 1 John 5, 14, 15 says, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us and he'll be involved in answering that. Because God says, this is what I want you to have. All right, God, this is what I want. He goes, okay, here. You're having trouble loving someone. God makes it clear he wants us to love. Saying part of the first and greatest command is that you love others as yourself. God, I need your help here. You're having today, maybe you're here and you're having today, trouble with bitterness or unforgiveness towards someone. Colossians 3, forgive as the Lord Christ forgave you. That is what God's will is. He's telling you that. And so when you come to him and say, God, I don't got what it takes, but I know that this is what you want for me, and I agree with you. I want to align my life with you. I want that in my life. So I'm asking you, help me to forgive this person as Christ you forgave me. He says, I'm going to be active in that. You have someone in your relationship world who doesn't know Christ. It's God's will for them to know him. He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. God, I want you to reach this person. God says, all right. Here we go. God's will is expressed in his word. And when you pray the word of God, according to 1 John 5, 14, 15, man, he's going to answer. I've got some verses that I'm praying over to college kids and young adults, this generation in our area, that God has given me from His Word, and they shape and they frame my prayers, and I trust that God is going to answer that. Why? Because He tells me if I pray His will, He will. And that's pretty powerful. You say, well, Wes, what if it's not specifically mentioned in the Word? I don't know about that. There's a lot of things that aren't in there. I'm not sure. Again, Pastor Jerry touched on this a couple weeks ago, too. James 1's got that covered. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally. God, I need wisdom. I need your wisdom. I need your wisdom. Now, you got to go there with the right heart, saying, Lord, I want your wisdom. Not, hey, show me your wisdom, and then I'll figure out if I want it or not. It's not going to work. You got to say, Lord, I'm, yes. You know, as Pastor Jerry says, my yes is on the table. Here, I need your wisdom. God says, I'll answer that. 1 John 5:14-15, you got my word on it. So, fourth truth I want to tell you, and this one probably single-handedly revolutionized my prayer time, my devotional time. It's this: your prayers matter to God because you matter to God. Your prayers matter to God because you matter to God. 1 John 3:1, how great is the love that the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God, and that is what we are. Lavished is love on us. He's our heavenly Father. Romans 8 tells us that God has given us the spirit of sonship whereby we cry to Him, Abba, Father. The word Abba means daddy, papa. It's a term of intimacy with our heavenly Father. Right? Matthew 6:9. Jesus is talking about prayer. And He frames what we have come to know as the Lord's Prayer. What's the first two words in the Lord's Prayer? Our Father. God's trying to tell us something here. And this is the thing that changed it for me. Because I had the first part of the equation down cold. I knew that, man, I needed to spend time with God in His Word. I needed to talk to Him in prayer. I needed to lay it out. Sometimes I just need to come hard. Sometimes I just need to be quiet. Why? Because I know I needed it. Man, I will mess my life up on my own. I want to know what God has to say. I want to know His plan for my life. I want to know what that's all about. And so I realized that my time with God every day alone with Him was critically important for me. I got that part. The part I was missing was that, well, this time was really important for me. As my Heavenly Father, it meant something to Him as well. In a wonderful, mysterious, special way, that when I would come before Him, I was able to bless His heart as well. Not that He needed it. He doesn't need me. He doesn't need you. He's self-sufficient. He's God. He doesn't need us. But does He deserve this time? Yeah. And what's more, He desires it. He desires me to spend time with, sometimes just to come and say, God, I don't even know what I'm doing, but I'm showing up. I'm just showing up. And that means something to Him. I want to use an illustration that I use my college kids to help them understand this. And I admit that it will be probably more emotionally connecting for me than it will be for you, probably. And it's risky because it is not rehearsed. And so I'm never quite sure how this is going to go. But I think it's worth it to help illustrate this truth that we're talking about here. That you're spending time with God, critical for you, but He's your Heavenly Father. And it means something to Him too. You can send her. This is my daughter, Lindsay. She's 4. And okay. Hey, how you doing?
Okay.
All right. So, wow. Thanks for coming. I know there's a lot of people. Don't worry about them. It's just you and me, okay?
Okay.
Do you have anything you want to say to me? Anything on your heart? You don't know? Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. Why don't you just sit here? Because there's some things I want you to know. Okay? You listen? There's some things I want to tell you. First of all, I want you to know how precious you are to me. I'm so glad that you're mine. I'm so excited that I'm going to have the opportunity to walk through life with you and to encourage you. It's going to be good. But Lindsay, I do want you to know, honey, that as you grow, there's going to be some voices that come from a lot of different places. And they're going to try to convince you that you're not valuable and that you aren't worth it. You don't have what it takes. You're not significant. I want you to know something. It's a lie. It's all a lie. Because I think you're spectacular. And I want you to know that I know that there's going to be times when you make decisions that I'm going to have to discipline you for because they're not going to be great. They're going to hurt you and they're going to grieve me. But I want you to know something. I will never walk away from you. I will never get tired of you. I will never give up on you. I will fight for you. I will fight for you. Because you're my daughter. You're my child. And I love you. Always. Don't ever forget that, okay? Okay. Thanks. You can go back to mom. I know that's fragile and it's flawed. But it is a glimpse nonetheless of you and your Heavenly Father. I mean, isn't it amazing? The invitation that He gives to us. So incredible. And yet how often it's TV, movies, Xbox, shopping, email, almost anything it seems. How often do we find those things more appealing? More appealing than being with our Heavenly Father. God help us. You know, when people say to me, you know, Wes, if God loved me, how come He let blank happen to me? You fill in the blank with anything. You know what the real question is in my mind? The real miracle? Is that how is it that this God who invites us, this holy, awesome, amazing, incredible, stunning God who invites us and extends His love to us, to know Him, to be with Him, how is it that when we treat it with such contempt and we ignore Him and we put it off like it's not that important, how is it that He hasn't just wiped us all off the face of the earth? That's the question in my mind. That, I think, is the real miracle. And yet He doesn't. He doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. He continues to invite us. He continues to pursue us with deep passion. To the prodigal, He says, come, return to me, because I want to celebrate you. To the weary, He says, come to me, I'll give you rest. To the wicked, He said, come to me, draw near to me, throw down your sins, run from them, run to me, and I will draw near to you. To the empty, He says, come, I'll fill you. To all of us, to everyone, He says, before you tell me what you think of me, I want to tell you what I think of you. Romans 5:8 says, God demonstrated His love for us and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Man, go to the cross. Look at the cross. Because at that place, God forever answered the question, God, what do you think of me? He says, I will fight for you. I will fight all of hell for you. into a broken, messed up world, you and me, this God of the universe seated on the throne, high above all heavens and all kings and kingdoms, this God says, come. He says, come. Doesn't it just make you want to run? It just fall at his feet and worship and surrender and just wrap your arms around him and say, God. Doesn't it just make you want to let him know how much you love him and how thankful you are and how much you want to follow him? Doesn't it? Then why not tell him yourself? Why not tell him yourself right now? It's called prayer. Let's pray. I'm going to invite you to bow your heads and close your eyes just for a moment out of respect for those around you. We're just going to take a few moments right here. Whatever God has talked to you about, I want you to take a moment to talk to him. In your heart, I want you to pray. I want you to speak with him. I want you to have communication and dialogue, asking, receiving, speaking, listening to him right now. I mean, maybe you need to picture him on that throne. Maybe you need to go to that throne because you've got some stuff in your life. It's like it's looking impossible, but God says, come, look at my throne. Look at me. Or maybe you just need to be reminded that this God is also your heavenly Father. And maybe you just need to crawl up in his lap and listen to him tell you who you really are. Wherever you're at, take a few moments. Spend it with your Heavenly Father right now. Maybe you're here today and the prayer you need to pray is what we would call the sinner's prayer. Where you just come to God and say, God, here I am. I'm lost. I need a Savior. I need you. Take me. Here. If that's you, you don't know God. You don't have a relationship with him. You know about him, maybe, but you don't know him. He's not your daddy, your papa, your heavenly Father, your King, your Lord. You don't know him, but you want to. Well, guess what? That can change right now. There's a real heaven. There's a real hell. You're going to spend eternity somewhere forever. And God says, I want you to be with me. I designed you and created you for that. If that's you, I want to invite you to pray this prayer after me, not out loud. In your heart, it's scripture. It's based on scripture. Just pray something like this. Say, dear Jesus, I'm lost. I'm a sinner. I get it. I need a Savior. I need you. I believe you died on the cross for me. You paid for my sins. You have a relationship to give me, a home in heaven, a relationship with you, with God, the Father. I want it. I want you. So right now, I turn from my sin. I repent. I don't want that. I want you, and I turn to you. I invite you into my life. I commit my life to you. Take me. I'm all yours. I will follow you. Thank you. Hey, if you just prayed that prayer and you meant it, and I don't want to embarrass you, that's not the plan. But if you just prayed that prayer and you meant it, I want to celebrate you and I want to remember you in a closing prayer. God talks to us about making our decisions for him public. So I'm going to ask you right now just to raise your hand. That's it. If you prayed it, you meant it, just raise your hand because your raised hand to my eye starts that process. Say, Wes, I prayed that prayer. I committed my life to Christ. Here's my hand, man. Pray for me. I'm looking around. Don't want to miss anybody. God bless you. Hold it up. I just want to pray for you. Thank you. Father, I only see hands. You see hearts. You know what's going on. Make it real in their lives today, right now. You can put your hands down. Father, for the rest of us, Lord, draw us to the place of prayer. Lord, sometimes we won't know what's going on. We're just going to show up. But it honors you, and you welcome us. So may we leave this place excited about the invitation you give us. And may we commit to taking you up on it every day. In your name we pray, Father.